Well, let's get into it, shall we? Greetings in the name of the Most High. Greets you one and all over the world, amidst all that goes on at such a time as this. I bless you in the name of the Most High. And I thank you for just for being there and for being who you are in all that we've gone through and all that we continue to face. I've continued to say it, and I will say it again. Be encouraged. Don't let any of these things get you too much. Recognize that the people that are going to be closest to you in the days ahead are going to be those that are coming from a place of spirit. And you're going to have relationships in your life that are going to be closer than family and than blood, because that which is in the realm of the spirit is more real. And because that's also what continues on past this. You know, we're born into families here, and you know, there's certain levels of closeness and familial relationships, but all different kinds of souls get mixed together in families and family relationships. And when you get to extended families too, it's amazing, you know, what is part of our experience. Such a different mix. And in a lot of cases, you know, you probably wouldn't have anything to do with people if they weren't family. You know, you've got relatives that you probably would, I mean, just because they're your relatives, you have a relationship with them, but otherwise, you probably wouldn't have much to do with each other if it was just based on your spirits, your focus, your interest, the things that are burning inside of you compared to the kind of things that are important to others. And as you continue to go forward in your life, what you're going to continue to find is more and more people that, if you stay true to who you are, this is why it's important for you to be true to who you are and who you are within, you will find people that resonates with. And they're going to be in your life, be in your world, and in many cases be close and closer to you than even what you've known as your own family. And that's something that happens on the realm of spirit. And so this is why it's so important to be true to who you are within, because it's in that honesty that you will now resonate and others will resonate with you. And that frequency that's created by you will also be recognized in others. So don't worry about you know, there's going to be challenges in relationships, yes, but you're also going to find incredible people that will be in your life and in your world and in your experience, and you would never know them if you weren't true to who you are within. See, this is why the people that are faking it get into so much sorrow as well, because they're not being true to who they are, and then so then no one else is around them either, no one else is real. And so then when all the relationships that are there fail them, then it's very tough, because now, okay, things have just fallen. Things have fallen, things have failed, and you know, what are they going to do? So, you know, it's very sorrowful, because they don't even know who they are. And it's very sad. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be hurting in the days ahead. And I want to make mention of this, because, you know, I think sometimes we've taken strong stands and had firm words while we've been going forward trying to wake people up. But in a lot of situations coming up, there's just going to be a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow and regret. And, you know, because people are going to just be hurt, you know, we're going to have to find a way to comfort people, even in difficult times. And, you know, I hope as much as possible that we can bring forward solutions that bring comfort and support and help and answers, and I do believe that people are more and more and more open for that, for those conversations, for that implementation. you know, people are willing to put their time, their energy, their efforts, their resources, mobilizing others. They're willing to do that now more than ever, which is great. And we may have had to come through so many difficult upheavals just to get to this point. But at the same time, you know, there's going to be just a lot of pain. And, you know, I can't say I'm sorry, because, you know, I have nothing to be sorry about because I haven't done anything wrong. So that's a wrong word, but I feel for the people that are going to have these kind of experiences, because it's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough to lose friends and family, and to have your paradigm rocked, your paradigm shifted. Because, you know, we people so badly want to believe that the controllers, or the previous controllers — they won't be in the future — but the previous controllers of society have had their best interests at heart. And it's tough for people to come to the realization that no, they don't. You know, they will sell you out for money, for power. They don't see you as — for control. They don't see you as people. They see you as a resource to be extracted. You know, they don't care for you. Think about what's going on in Sri Lanka right now. And you know, the people that are the powers that have been controlling that country at the point of a gun, and amidst so much corruption, and now everything they touch fails and falls. And what's happening? Well, the resources the people have, the financial system the people are forced to use, is collapsing. And the currency buys less and less, things are less and less available, and now just basic staples people are standing in line for 3 hours just to get a bit of cooking oil, just to get a bit of just flour. So so now, you know, in this particular situation, what will the answers be while they're injecting everybody? What will be the — what will people do, you know, as they start to die? It's tough, you know. It's really, really, really hard, because the normal person there, who is just trying to get by, just trying to feed their family, just trying to take care of, and by just doing regular things, they're unable to. Everything's falling apart around them, and they don't know what to do. And the frustration, the anger, the resentment, you know, builds, and it builds among a lot of people. And then they look for, okay, well, who's responsible? Who's responsible, right? And see, this is one of the dangers of the, for lack of a better way of putting it, the savior programs, which is people always wanting somebody else to come in and fix things for them. And we keep looking for a hero. We want to prop somebody up, and then that person will, okay, we'll vote for that person. That's going to be the one. But the problem is that people then, they give their responsibility over to somebody else. And then when things don't work out, they blame them. And then they go try to find another savior, and another one, and another one. All the while, things get worse and worse and worse. And because what is it that people are trying to avoid? They're trying to avoid taking responsibility themselves and doing the part that they need to do. And this is one of the things that I believe we are supposed to learn in this life, is to take responsibility, to grow up, to not remain as a child, but to use the skills, the talents, the abilities, and say, you know what, this is my problem to fix. You know, how often have you heard people say, "This is not my problem to fix. It's not my issue." Yeah, there's that element, sure. At the same time, if you don't engage, who's going to? If not you, then who? And do you see how when good people say, "It's not mine, it's not my responsibility, I'm not going to do anything about it," do you see who it ends up in the hands of? It ends up in the hands of the bad ones. So then those are the ones that are now running your currency. Those are the ones now running your financial systems. Those are the ones managing your supply chains. Those are the ones that take over medicine. The Medici family in Italy, yeah. Trace that one back. Medicine. Those are the ones that put forward mandate how you're going to live, the things you're going to have to do, and they keep tightening the screws over and over and over again until it becomes completely unbearable to live in the world that they construct for you. All the while, for them, it's do as I say, not as I do. If you do as they say and not, if you do as they say, you're miserable, and they would never live in the world that they create for you. They wear their masks on TV and take them off the second they're off camera. They wear their, they do all of their things for show, and as soon as they're out of the public eye, they don't care about you. They never have. But you are their cattle. You are their livestock. You are their resource that they need to feed off of and keep you in the pen all the way to harvest. Now, when you realize that the power is in you, you exit their system, you build your own things, you understand, for example, government is, this is where it was meant to be, government is by the people and for the people. And to the extent that what we have is by and for the people, then it remains. To the extent that it is not by and for the people, it needs to change. And systems will be built by and for the people. And in a lot of cases, we might just end up having people outgrow their governments because their governments are no longer relevant. They serve, they do nothing for the people except destroy and live off of them like parasites and ticks. What services are they providing that make your life better? In what way are they there for you? It's a mixed bag in some cases. Some places they're doing a better job than others. But this is where vigilance of the people is important. You've got to make sure that these places are clean. And when and where there has been a breach of office, this is very important, when and where there has been a breach of office, because when people take public office, they swear oaths to uphold that trust. So when and where you know and you see that trust has been violated, you have to hold those people to account. So I've seen letters now that have been sent to the Attorney General in British Columbia and into other places where people are being held to account for breach of office, breach of trust. And in cases like that, those are 5-year minimum jail sentences. You know, we've got people that have supported against the actual science, against the doctors, and against the ongoing record of what's going on right now. We have public officials supporting quote-unquote health care policies which are draconian, ill-advised, big pharma-backed, just psychopath-controlled that are destroying people, and you've got public officials pushing those things. Military states forcing people to take these dangerous injections. In the history of recorded adverse reactions, we've never had anything as deadly as this. And this is just what's been recorded, and what's recorded is far less than what's actually happened. and yet they continue to support misguided policies. The question is, are they ignorant? Are they negligent? Or are they complicit? Or are they part of the attack against humanity? In any one of those cases, something has to change. But if they are actually criminal actors, then they need to be they're dangerous to society. They're dangerous to people. That is the reason why there are jails. Because when people are dangerous to everybody else, they have to be sequestered away from people, because they can hurt people. You know, there was a serial killer in Texas who was a nurse. I was looking up this case, and she was injecting people with bleach. She killed 5 and maimed another 5 before people figured out what she was doing. You know, and as horrific as that sounds, what we're dealing with here is as bad as that. We've got people running around injecting an unapproved, it's been authorized under emergency use authorization, which really should be reviewed at this stage, because in some countries now more people have died from the injections than from quote-unquote COVID, which is a bioweapon. So more people are dying from the experimental injections in some places right now, already that number's surpassing, than the bioweapon. But we're dealing with with people in positions that are, you know, that are running around and pushing dangerous injectables, all the while denying other potential therapies and support to people, all the while endangering the minds and the healths of our kids by forcing them to engage in unsafe practices like masking is not safe. You're holding in the carbon dioxide, which is a waste product of your body. And they're doing it to kids in schools for hours a day. I mean, you are holding waste into people's systems, forcing them to rebreathe and their own waste that's supposed to be expelled from their body, collecting it into germ-filled rags on their face. And the damage to people's mouths, to their respiratory tracts, to their immunities, lowering their body, and then also training people to be in fear and to comply. There is no data to support this practice with kids. None. None. But compliance is very important for the controllers. And this is a way to teach compliance. This is a way to trigger slave memories for anybody that has them. It's a way to block the throat chakra and people's ability to speak. It's a way to cut down people's connections and communications with others. It's a way to put people in fear. It's a way to remind people of their ongoing conditioning right now. Every purpose is not for your health, not for your well-being in this simulation that's being run on humanity. Somewhere along the way, we have to take responsibility for ourselves, our families, our surroundings, and make the changes. We pray, we also act, we do. In your actions, things will change. In your response, things will change. As you engage, that's what shifts things. Do something do something different. Take an action. You'll be amazed what happens. You'll be amazed what happens. You know, in the middle of all of this, the old systems are crumbling. They're falling apart. Now listen, I mentioned this before. This is important to understand too. What they're trying to also do is, in their own mind, what they think are win-win situations for them, which are lose-lose for us, which is to either get people injected or to get them to walk off the job, in which case they cause disruptions and supply chain breakdowns, services disruptions. So my encouragement is look to see what you can do and build that will support continuity in this time. So for food supplies and food logistics to continue, for transportation to continue, for communications to be strong, for coordinations for around healthcare to be supported. Look at the things that are in your day-to-day life and see what can be done to support continuity in those areas. Now's the time to build the new models. We need to be looking at systems of value exchange, new monetary systems. All right? So as you look at these things, you already have the answers within you. They will come out. Take action, and as you take action, you will see the support and the resources coming together to implement, to do, to change, to be. All right. Bless you guys. I'm just going to pray for you all really quick. Father, in Jesus' name, just want to say thank you. And thank you, Father, for everybody that's here and for all that is on the horizon. I just want to ask that you would encourage, strengthen each and every one of our hearts in this time to do your will, to walk in step with you, to engage in that which is real and that which is necessary and that which is truth and life-giving for each and every one of us. We bless one another in the name of the Most High, and we want to just say thank you. Thank you for the chance to be here in this life at this time. And thank you, Father, for all the experiences that are ours and will be ours in the time to come. We ask that our relationships would be strengthened, that our resolve would be strong, and that our hearts would be filled with joy amidst all that takes place. In Jesus' name, thank you. All right, well, bless you guys. We will catch up again soon. All right, keep on keeping on. Talk to you soon. Bye.